Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR Kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. This week we have a very special guest with us, good friend from Korea who also was in our wedding and maybe met Richard there. I don't know. Maybe they talked. Maybe they didn't. Who knows? It's Miss Jessica Coyle.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
안녕. Hello. Nice to see all of you. How is everyone?
Well, and you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing just fine. I'm in my shoe closet recording for the first time, which feels great because I have a shoe closet and I didn't have one before.
You haven't used this recording space before?
This is my first time using this recording space. Although I do have a podcast, which you have been on, Jay, although your episode hasn't been released yet. I'm sure it will by the time this comes out.
Maybe. We can maybe we'll do it at the same time.
Oh, I hope so. We can synchronize. Our episode, the most that I remember about our episode is that there was a giant golden eagle that more than one that your character married. I think your character was a serial monogamist with giant golden eagles, a la Rescuers Down Under.
That sounds probably like something that probably happened. Man, that feels like so long ago.
You were in a fugue state. Your eyes went white, and then your face went blue, and then all the kind of strange things happened.
Yeah, that's typically what happens when I do improv. It's like, I'm not meant for this, and I just say ridiculous things and go into a shock state and don't remember it later. You were part of the Let's Hear It podcast network, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Made Up Talk Show. It's a podcast where every week we invite in a guest to highlight a lesser known podcast, which we then improvise. So we make up the podcast every week, and it's a blast. We have different improvisers on, including yourself, and it's a different flavor every week. It's a blast.
It's a good, fun time. I enjoy it. Check it out.
Thank you so much.
A fun fact about me is that I founded an improv club at UNCW, and I'm so terrible at improv.
You know, I bet you're not bad. I bet you're good, but I bet you played with a lot of dudes who like made you feel like you were bad.
Maybe.
Is it possible? Did you ever play with somebody who like walked into the room and was like, "Hello, my mom, who's also a slut"?
That probably happened. Yeah. I think I just was too intimidated to like really give it a try because I was like, these people know what they're doing. I don't. I'm just here. So I essentially became a potato in like whatever scene I was doing.
I bet you were the funniest potato in the room.
Maybe. You know, it was like a green potato instead of a brown one. So I guess that's like a silly.
All eyes were on you.
Right. That's true.
So for regular listeners of the VCR Kids, you guys know that all three of us met, hung out, spent time in Korea. That's also where I met Jessica, and we were in an improv troupe over there where I was the potato of the group.
Were so fun. You were the sane one of the group. All of the rest of us were like dealing in our weird, strange dramas. I literally walked up and down all of Haebongchun, this like foreigner neighborhood in Korea, like knocking on doors like, please don't let your personal drama keep you from the show, please.
Oh, yeah. That happened. I was also throwing up backstage in the middle of a show one time, and I'm pretty sure everyone in the audience heard it. It's great times.
Great times. Korea. Memories.
But you have brought a movie for us to watch this week that I had never heard of until you mentioned it, and I still know very little about it. We're going to watch Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken.
I'm so excited. Should I share what I remember of it?
Yeah.
There's romance. There's daring. I think it takes place during the Dust Bowl. That's my guess, is that it's like Dust Bowl era.
Isn't that like a college football game?
Yeah, it's during a college football game.
No, it was in the middle of the Great Depression when also there was a drought. And so everyone was miserable and they got dust everywhere, including their eyes and their underwear.
And in their bowls.
And then their bowls. Yeah.
They're just eating dust for breakfast every morning.
Was it just because the area was like valley shaped where all the dust was around?
Man, I should read even one book about American history because I don't know. I think of it as being in the Dust Bowl because I think I remember a lot of wood and like wind and people being kind of poor.
Mm. Yeah.
Fun fact, that's where shredded wheat came from.
Ew. The Dust Bowl?
All that dust in the bowl.
Ah, uh-huh. So good.
What movie were we watching and someone ate a shredded wheat and I was like, what the heck is that? Because it was just like one giant cereal.
Do people actually eat that? Do people have one? Is it like, because you have the frosted mini wheats and I kind of thought that was what they meant.
Yeah, by... me too.
Well, those are frosted and they're mini.
Okay. Right?
So like a shredded wheat is as big as your fist.
What? That's horrible.
That movie?
Nobody
it
wants
might have been
to
the Sopranos. Was it the
wheat.
Sopranos?
It was either
Richard would know.
Did they eat shredded wheat in the Sopranos, Richard?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I really remember eating wise from that show is Tony slamming his fork against the plate all the time, loudly, which I think is what they made him do in some acting class decades ago. It's like that's how you eat on screen. So
you just and slam it, and that's the way they know you've been eating.
Yeah.
Having panic attacks while he's eating salami.
Another thing from this is, should I spoil it?
I mean, I haven't seen it.
I won't spoil it for you then, but there is romance. I'll just say there's a big theme of romance.
Nice. This is a horse movie, right?
It's a horse movie, but she doesn't fall in love with a horse. She falls in love with a human, but she does love a horse.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Mm-hmm.
I just really hope it's better. We've not watched a lot of horse. We have pretty bad experiences with horse movies on the podcast. Black Beauty was a rough one. I think I blocked all the others out of my memory.
I'm pretty sure that was the only one.
I don't know. Do you count The Last Unicorn as a horse movie?
If you did, I think I listened to part of your Last Unicorn episode and it made me, I love The Last Unicorn so much. That I wrote an extra verse in the song The Last Unicorn and I sang it at camp.
Oh my gosh. That song where it was like, look on the sea and the narwhals are jumping, like that one?
No, the one when the last eagle flies. Are you talking about in the sea? That's a different there's two songs.
Oh, okay. It's the sea one. I just was like,
the
he's
fish
just talking
have
about...
learned to fly. No, I didn't write an extra version of that verse of that one. But
we weren't sure what had happened, if like they animated to match the song or if the songwriter just kind of watched where there was supposed to be music and the animation and just kind of started, like, instead of actually making lyrics, he just started like talking about
where
what
do unicorns go. I love that movie so much that I went and read the book and then I read another book about unicorns that he wrote last year.
Wow.
Oh,
that's how much I love The Last Unicorn. We rented it so much.
That one.
Well, I don't know. It seemed like you were all on the same page about it, so I don't want to be the one voice saying, y'all are crazy. This movie is amazing.
No, that's fine, because that's usually me, and I'm the only one saying that about things, and they never like it.
Well, I think maybe go watch it again with the eye of a child who thinks maybe if she just hopes enough, a unicorn will come.
That sounds fair.
Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. But I can't make any promises about this movie, though, because I think I watched it last when I was maybe 9.
Wow. Richard, Aaron, have either of y'all heard or seen this movie?
No.
No, I've never even heard of it. And I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. There are such things of like diving horses. Mm-hmm. What in the world? Mm-hmm. Like the picture they have of this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Some like 1880s attraction where a horse basically just dives off of.
Oh, so that's pre-Dust Bowl. So we're talking more like Anne of Green Gables time.
She's wearing a tank top, though.
See, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just the past.
Right. I will tell you this. We recently watched the guy who directed this movie, Steve Miner. He also did Forever Young. He did Forever Young right after this movie. So.
Oh.
Do I hear a negative thumbs down on Forever Young?
Well, it was fine. It was totally fine. Vanilla.
Yeah, it was good. It was like fine enough, you know. It's a little weird here and there.
Well, I was, my initial thought for this movie was going to be Bedknobs and Broomsticks, but then I was like, that's not fair, because I've seen that movie recently. So I can't do that one. I love movies from my youth.
That's true.
I love looking at these movies and, like, you know, on IMDb, they have the more like this menu.
Oh.
And they have one for Andre, the Seal movie from 1994. That I completely forgot about until just this moment.
I don't know anything. I've never heard of Andre the Seal.
Well, someday we'll do an episode on it when we run out of movies to watch.
Great. Go back there and watch Andre the Seal.
Cool. Well, I was excited to watch this until you mentioned it was a horse movie and until you told me how much you loved The Last Unicorn.
I'll die with that. That I will take. What am I trying to say? I will go to battle for that movie. There, The Last Unicorn. There's so much to like about it. There's in jokes for adults. There's constant use of Yiddish because I think the author was Jewish. So like the guy's name is Schmendrick, the magician.
Yes,
it's so fun and weird and like, why is a raven like a writing desk? Is like a pot. Like it's like. Mommy Fortuna, the tits on the harpy. Y'all are just wrong about that being the best movie.
Yeah, there's way too many boobs in that movie.
I was looking at the cast for this movie, and isn't the guy in this one, isn't he the Pretty in Pink boy? Is his name Jake Ryan? Is that right?
I can look it up, but again, I have no memory. Oh, no. I don't even know how I'm going to watch this movie.
16 Candles. I'm so sorry. 16
Wild
Candles.
Hearts. Let's see. Can't Be Broken. How am I going to watch this on Amazon? How do you stream this?
We'll probably have to purchase it for rental.
Okay. All right. Amazon Prime. All right. No problem. I'll get it.
We might need to make sure because it is a Disney movie, so it might be on Disney Plus. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
That's right.
It's also $4 on Amazon, so no problem. We've all got $4. You have a house. I have a shoe closet.
Richard has a cat named Big Mama.
That's right.
Nice. I think I saw it.
It's in the chair. Yep.
Oh, adorable. I have guinea pigs, so they would probably get eaten.
Probably.
I can't see anywhere about the budget for this movie, but it grossed $7 million.
Nice. Well, so, I bet that's a good sign.
That's not even near what the budget was.
Was it direct to video?
No, that was on theatrical release.
Huh.
Doesn't gross mean it made that much money? Doesn't that mean that's over the budget?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
Not typically talking about like the box office stuff.
Well, all right. If it's bad, I'll cop to it. I'm not gonna try to pretend that a movie I remember as being good was
right. And that's why we created this podcast. Mm-hmm. There's so many movies we didn't remember if they were good or not, and our childhood has been ruined many times over.
I also really liked one of your first episodes, The Never Ending Story, I think holds up. Which I know is a real hated piece of trash to you all, but
Jay loves it.
No, I love it. Jay. Yeah.
I just can't. I don't get it. Because I never saw it when I was a child, so I just watched it like...
These hands.
No.
These hands were strong.
Hands. Is that the stone giant?
Yeah.
Those hands didn't look strong. They looked like they were made of foam, and he kept jiggling all over the place.
Oh, this movie has Uncle Ben in it.
Who's Uncle Ben?
From Spider-Man?
Oh, I was thinking from the box of rice.
Oh, yeah.
You know Uncle Ben's rice?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, something interesting. This was filmed in South Carolina. So, there you go.
Oh, hey.
Shout out to Myrtle Beach.
There you go.
Oh, it was filmed in Myrtle Beach?
Part of it, yeah.
You know what else is good? The more like this? The Secret Garden is also great. Did you watch that one?
You know what? We did... I don't know in what order these podcasts will be released, but we are about to record it after this.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I literally like 5 minutes ago, just finished watching it. So
did you I don't want to spoil anything, but since this is just visual, will you give me a little winky winky if you think it was great, and a little if you think it was bad? All right. Okay. I've got some insider knowledge here, listeners, that you'll have to wait for or listen to if it came out before this.
Oh, Erin, did you give your verdict?
She sure did.
Oh, I didn't
yeah,
even see
I did.
It.
I did.
You I was just looking attention. To see what Richard All right. Well, I think it's time to go watch this movie and we'll reconvene and give our thoughts on it in a little bit. Talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Jay here in the middle of the episode. Before we get into our movie review, a couple of things. First of all, if you don't remember, Jessica is one of the hosts of Made Up Talk Show. I'll include a link to her show in the show notes. So if you're interested, you can check it out. The episode that I was on did drop. It's really silly, really ridiculous. One of the funniest things I think that I've done in a while. So definitely recommend checking that out, especially if you do enjoy improv, or even if you don't, if you just enjoy kind of like comedy and sending up podcasts in general, definitely check it out. It's a lot of fun. Again, I'll include the link for that in the show notes below. So if you're listening, you can just open up your pod player and you should see it in there. You can just tap that and click on over and listen to that episode. Let's see. Other than that, nothing super new going on. As usual, you can check us out on our website, thevcrkids.com. You can always hit us up on social media at thevcrkids. And on our website, we also have merch. We got t-shirts. We got coffee mugs, I think. No, we don't have coffee mugs. We got t-shirts. We got notebooks. We got phone cases. We got masks. All kinds of crazy fun stuff. So check it out. Spread the VCR Kids love. Share your favorites with us. Send us pictures on social media if you are sporting any of our merch. I know we've gotten some really cool pictures before from some friends. So shout out to you guys. Specifically, I think Calvin has sent us some pictures. And I don't... Oh, gosh. Oh, now I feel so bad for blanking on her name. She's been one of our friends on Twitter from the beginning. And she has a Hufflepuff in her icon. But her... I think it's just like Hufflepuff lover or something. I don't remember. I feel really bad. I'll look it up next time and give you a special shout out, even though I think your Twitter is private, so no one will be able to follow you. Delaney? Delaney, that's what it was. Yes. Thank you, Delaney. Anyway, thanks to you guys who, again, have hooked up with us on Twitter. Not hooked up. That's highly inappropriate. You know, followed us, commented on things on the social medias. As you may know, I'm mostly the one who runs our social media accounts. They've been a little bit quiet lately just because I've had so much other stuff going on. But if you respond to it, or if you shout us out, if you link, if you add us, if you comment on something, I'll get notified. I'll be more than happy to respond. So yeah, if you have a question for us, if you have a comment about an episode, if you want to find out more about our time in Korea and some of the crazy things we did that you got alluded to in some of these stories that Jessica and I were telling, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever, and we'd be happy to share some fun stories and have some fun conversations. So yeah, we are at the VCR Kids again. Jessica is from Made Up Talk Show. And I'll let you get back to the episode where we review Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. Oh, bye-bye. Hello, everybody. Hello. We are finished watching Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. I think everyone has a lot of thoughts about this movie.
Yeah.
I know I do. Yeah. What about you guys? How are you feeling after watching it?
First of all, I want to give myself 1,000 gold stars for saying it was during the Dust Bowl, because it was.
Totally.
Yeah, that's a Dust Bowl film, like textbook Dust Bowl.
So in the middle of it, I started Googling like if this was like a real phenomena, these diving horses, and I accidentally spoiled the movie because this is really, really based on a real person.
Yep, that's a person. Sonora is a woman, now dead, R.I.P.
Yeah, well, considering her time frame.
I should be well over 100.
Dust Bowl.
And I was like, oh. Yeah.
Yeah, what do we think about the fact that, like, it's kind of a child bride movie.
Oh my God, that yeah. So the movie starts with this girl, this teenage girl who's rebelling against her, I guess, adopted family, or it's her aunt or something.
It's her aunt who adopted her and her brother, our sister, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's like rebelling against her. She's like fighting kids in school. She's super stubborn. She cuts off all her hair and then decides to run away from home.
That's an amazing haircut for like a 3-second cut job.
Mm-hmm. I know. She did like 4 snips and then her aunt made her wear a bag on her head.
Uh-huh. Sick.
And then immediately she releases all of the cows in her neighbor, in her,
she kinda
on her
sucks.
Farm.
I mean, I get that she's reacting from trauma, but I also get why her aunt wants to send her off to the state.
Yeah, she's annoying. And I will say, I was thinking about other things I've heard about, like the treatment of children at this time. They used to have like the orphan train that would go across the United States, and it was full of orphans, and they would just stop in random places and be like, who wants to adopt these orphans?
Then, to work, like, on your farm to be employees.
Yeah, yeah, that's what happened. People just like adopted all the boys and used them as child labor. So, and like people used to like loan their kids out to other people for like labor on farms. I was like, to be honest, she's on a farm and they're letting her go to school and she is very ungrateful for that opportunity.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, you know, she did just lose her parents to a fever, so like I can't it would be nice if her aunt would give her a little bit more empathy, like, hey.
Oh yeah, her aunt, you know, everyone's crap in this. She punched her in the face, like, not a slap, like a close fist. Yeah,
she gave her a real honk and smack.
Well, like, she punched that girl in the school too. She
she wailed on
rail back and went bam.
Yeah, there's a lot of
there's a lot of violence.
Yeah, everyone's punching and slapping each other, because like the dad and son go at it too.
Yeah, I, you know, not to skip forward or anything, but the dad kind of sucks.
Ben.
Yeah, uncle. Yeah, the Dr. Ben Carver, right?
Yeah,
I just mean he's Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben,
Spider-Man.
Uncle Ben for Spider-Man, with much great power,
with a mullet,
great responsibility. My son Al, he's like a really great guy, like not a good father, but like a really good guy, right?
He's like a good boss.
Yeah, he gives jobs to people. He kind of is like a hard ass, but like is, you know, trusting and like treats her with respect and kindness. He treats the diva with respect and kindness. There's no weird like predatory overtones to that.
I mean, in the movie,
we don't know in real life. Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, he's got a really nice permed mullet that I'm sure he just like blows out every morning.
I was thinking, like, when we first queued this up, I was like, oh, this isn't on Disney Plus. This is like a Disney movie.
It's not on Disney Plus.
And then we
paid to watch this movie.
Yeah, sorry, and Jay. we were just like, oh, maybe I can see why this one isn't, because there's a lot of violence and it's a child bride movie.
Yeah. I think as a kid, it felt like she and Al were closer in age. This her employer essentially. But I looked it up, and even though she was like a 21-year-old playing a 16 or 17-year-old. He was 9 years older than her. So he, whatever age she was 9 years older. So, I mean, yeah.
I think there's also like an illusion of passage of time in this movie. It would be my guess. But like she looks like she's like 13 in this movie.
Yeah, they keep saying creepy things like, oh, you'll grow into this suit. Oh, the bathing suit will fit eventually. This will, you know, when you're bigger. Which are things you say to an actual physical child.
Yeah.
Not things you say to a, you know, a young woman, you know, like if you told me, oh, someday you'll fit into that bathing suit, I would say, well, I hope not. I don't plan on gaining 2. So what in what situation?
Yeah, you know? I think it was more common to get married when you're two years younger. But if
we have an Oreo situation on Aaron's side, or is it an
no,
Oreo?
No, it's my it's dog. She's being annoying. Stop it.
Send her off to be a diving dog.
Yeah, go. Go to the circus. Right now, I'm annoyed with you.
That's the first thing I did when I was watching this movie. I was like, how old are these people really? I was like, I gotta know.
Yeah.
Because I gotta know the how creeped out I should be for this. Well, yeah. No, yeah. The actors. Because the buddy now is like 60 years old. The Al. Which is just weird to think about. But like, yeah. He's an old man now.
Yeah.
You mean like the husband? Her husband?
Al, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I know. Well, and like Dr. Carver, I think they set him up as like, he wasn't an antagonist by any means, but like, I think they made the movie seem like it was a bad decision for him to hide the letters from his son. But that's the correct thing to do. If your adult son is trying to woo a child, you go, hey, kid, don't do that. Hey, other kid, who's a real kid, you don't get to hear from your prospective lover who is 9 years older than you.
Yeah, and put the milk back in the refrigerator. What are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
How rude.
Come on.
That's true. I didn't even think about that, but that is true.
Milk. So Sonora joins a circus, basically. I thought in the beginning, when she's first introduced to the circus, all signs were pointing to her falling in love with the hot dog guy. He had this great banter. He was coming up with all these goofy inventions. Turns out we only see him like one other time in the movie.
He's real also disappointment probably there. More age appropriate. He looks younger.
Yes.
Absolutely. He's still got pimples. It's perfect.
Can I just say that it's really uncomfortable looking when she wraps her legs around the chair?
Oh, yeah.
To stay sitting there? It looks like she's about to break into some kind of chair, like floor dance.
Yeah. I was just like...
Yeah, she did that repeatedly too. Yeah, that was like something she's like, I got this down. Like if someone gives me grief,
squats her legs open and wraps her toes around the like.
Well, it's interesting because the movie kind of expects you to walk a line. Whereas if that's a child's behavior, it's very understandable. If that's an adult woman's behavior, she has a problem.
Yes, and they treated her as an adult woman and. Starting from about that point on, so it was kind of,
yeah, and that's where I don't believe Uncle Ben is, because like if I was interviewing someone, like even if it was like for a role shoveling poop or whatever, and they did that, I would either be like, oh, you're clearly a child and I don't want to deal with that, or like, oh, you're an adult who's acting like a child, and I don't want to deal with that.
But to go back to Aaron's point, at this time, like 12-year-olds were working in mines, and 13-year-olds were working in like shirt making factories. So the idea that he would hire a child to be a stable girl wasn't that wild.
And you could also like buy a house from working at McDonald's back then too. I think, right?
Yeah. And minimum wage was the equivalent of a burger back then, an hour. And now, what can you buy for that? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Political. I'm being political.
Yeah, I think it's like, I guess everything made sense at the time. And like all of their thing, like everything they do, it's kind of acceptable for the time. But it still makes me a little bit uncomfortable right now.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, we accept stories like Romeo and Juliet. We accept stories where in the time period, if they're, young.
They were both young. Yeah. Romeo was 16. Juliet was 14.
That's a good point. Romeo wasn't like 23.
I think it just, and like the thing is, like they could have just said, oh, well, she's older. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I guess
they could have just said how old she was at one point. They'd be like, oh, here, it's your 20th birthday.
Yeah,
birthday.
Like, here's your 18 when you leave the house.
Yeah, it also would have been a very easy fix if, like, she ran away from home and then, like, in a couple of years saw the horse diving advertisement.
Right.
That would have been a really easy fix, too. Go out and work in a field for a while. Get your, body grown.
Yeah, and it...
Or like worked at the circus for a couple of years before the wooing started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, help the hot dog guy.
Yeah,
go out, have a go on a few dates with hot dog guy. Turns out they're not a great fit. She takes a few months to get over him, and then right at the right time, right on her 18th birthday, the Mr. Dreamboat swoops in. And
yeah, like,
I've been thinking about this a lot.
According to Sonora, who wrote the memoir, Five Brave Horses, I think it was called, she said they made up so much stuff anyway that if they're going kind of a semi-fictionalized route, why not age her up a little bit?
Yeah, because it's just it's like a problematic take on relationships that's like pushed. I don't know. I just think like think about it reverse with like an older woman and a younger boy. Like that's kind of weirder. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like if you can't flip it and it's normal, like then don't.
All right. Well, we've been talking about the age difference for about 30 minutes now. So, Richard, what did you think about the horse diving?
Well, I was about to say, my opinion on why this isn't on Disney Plus is probably that, right? Mm. Because they really swept that under the rug quickly in the movie. They're like, oh, the horses are fine. Like, they're good. Yeah. And so, but like, I don't know. Maybe people watch it today and go like, oh, I did think it was hilarious when the horse, because they had such good shots of it coming up the ramp. And then when it actually went in the water, but the in-between one, I was like, ooh.
It was like a paper cutout.
Yeah, it was.
It like someone was holding a little paper cutout. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I was reading the IMDb, and they said that they did jump them, but they were 10. It was 10 feet instead of 40 feet.
I figured it had to have been something, because it did jump, and it went in the water, and I was like, okay, so they made it jump, but they clearly had to splice in the extra high part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was looking up, was whether or not horses actually got injured. And apparently, when they were doing the traveling circus, none of them did get hurt. None of the horses did get hurt. And they liked it, apparently. Like, they would want to get, like, as soon as the ramp came out, they'd, like, rush and they got excited mm-hmm. and wanted to do it. But then once they got their permanent show, or it might have been some other people that had permanent shows, like, in those boardwalk kind of circus places, like, on the coastline, once they were in, like, a permanent place, they started jumping them, like, 6 times a day. Mm. And that's not good. But when they had the traveling show, I guess they also had SPCA people, like, on site at all times to make sure the horses were okay, which seems very forward-thinking for the time. But I guess not at the stationary shows on the boardwalks. So that's when horses started to get, like, compression fractures and stuff from doing that so many times. So it wasn't good. But they were still doing it until the late 70s. And then they stopped, and then they started again in the 90s, and it...
Can you imagine in the 90s being like, look, I know Free Willy made you feel sad for whales, right. But guess what? Horses aren't whales. Here they go!
It was very short-lived in the 90s. It didn't last long. Probably why.
Now tell me this. Why? Maybe I missed something in the movie. Because the person mounts the horse right before it goes over, like at the top. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why they mount it there? Is it for entertainment? Instead of just riding the horse all the way up, is it just part of the thrill?
I think it's the thrill.
I don't know. Yeah.
Also, maybe it's a little dangerous to be riding as it goes up, because it does go quite high, and you're quite high on a horse. Mm-hmm. So, like... You know, if you fall from up here, the likelihood of landing in the water is high. But if you fall at any point, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know, because it had pads on it when it ran up the ramp, and it was tight in the ramp. So, like, logistically, your legs couldn't fit on the side. Mm. And I think it had pads to, like, keep the horse safe and not get cut or bruised when it bumped up against the side. So maybe there's some reason why, like, when it was running at that incline, you, like, couldn't be on it. I don't know why the ramp had to be like that. But obviously, like, it was too...
Because I was confused, because the doctor was like, you need to mount this horse, and then you'll be a dive girl. And I was like, why does she need to do that? Right. And then, oh, that's why. Because you mount it at the top of the ramp.
Yeah. They must have had to make it narrow so the horse would actually go. Because, like, you can't give it any room to think it's going to turn around.
Yeah, no. Bye-bye. Yeah. I'm not diving off shit. Yeah,
exactly.
Speaking of the doctor, that was one of the longest deaths in cinema history, possibly.
I am quasi ashamed to admit I teared up a little bit when the dandelion.
Yeah.
I didn't. Well, I was like, all right.
Yeah. We didn't know him that well, you know. We didn't know any of the characters that well other than Sonora, I guess.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, that you really don't at all. Like, you really, like, you know her really well.
But do, like, do you know anything about her personality other than that she's determined and she likes horses? Like, do we know what food she liked? Do we know, like, does she have any personality beyond?
Well, there was that time when she tried to be fancy.
What an idiot. Oh,
so cringe. I, like, couldn't take it. We've all done that, though. We've all done that. I've done some dumb crap thinking I looked so good.
Well, you know, she's very pretty. Name she's them. A beautiful woman.
Well,
name the things you did.
Basically, all the makeup that I tried to use in middle school, like the Dream Mousse foundation that I just rubbed on with my fingers.
Did you use blue eyeliner?
Oh, blue eyeshadow, and it was sparkly. Yeah, there we go. And I put it on with the little sponge applicator that they give you in the thing.
Yeah, Richard, what makeup did you put on that you regret later?
Well, I mean, as a young boy, I put on my mom's makeup and I thought it looked pretty. But like, as I, like in high school, I put in hair dye because everyone was coloring their hair. But I just put like what old men do to, because they're going gray. So it looked like I had a toupee on and I was just raked over the coals.
Oh, I also, this is probably the worst. In seventh grade, I thought I was like super cool for wearing knee-high toe socks with like really outrageous designs. And I would wear them with shorts and flip-flops. So like everyone got like a super good view of like
the knee-high.
Yeah, quality. It was like a rainbow. There was one with like characters on it. Like they just ran the gambit. And it, like, first off, why? Because toe socks are like so uncomfortable, honestly. I don't understand. But I thought it was like so cool, and like everyone was like, oh, you're the toe sock.
You made a name for yourself. You were particular.
I guess so.
I tried to put stripes.
The toe sock girl.
Yeah. Oh,
God. I tried to put black stripes in my hair, and then my person who was helping me with the hair dye remembered that she had a shift at work in like 20 minutes. She's like, sorry, I got a jam. And I was like, I don't think I can do this by myself, but I already spent the $8.25 on this hair dye and I'm not going to throw it away. So I just had black hair. Just black hair my freshman year of college. Can you imagine? I mean, like, with this skin tone, just
look like a real goth.
Pitch black. Yeah, it was not a cute look. Ooh. At all.
I also shaved off my eyebrows almost. I just had little wee nubs. Because right. It was, well, back when like pencil thin ones were a thing. Okay.
And I was, now like, we all feel great about ourselves. Hairy.
Well, what we do when we're young is just silly, dumb stuff to try to establish our personality.
You're testing the waters and things go awry.
I don't know how Sonora afforded all those nice outfits. It's like, yeah, clearly Depression like era, and yet she looks pretty fabulous, like outfit wise, in every scene.
Well,
she has a job in the Depression, right? That's gotta put you,
yeah,
a leg up somewhere.
I think the diving girls got paid a bit.
Mm-hmm. I think they got paid.
Yeah, I think they probably got paid the most out of anyone in that circus.
Well, yeah, and I guess he also has his, like, his farm. I don't know if Dr. Carver, like, that's a nice house that they went into in the off season to train the horses. She had her own room. She was kind of set up. Oh, did you know that her younger sister became a horse diver?
No.
Yeah, the younger sister, Arnette.
I guess they went back for her.
Yeah, in real life, they went and saw the movie together.
Oh.
Like,
mm-hmm. Interesting.
She didn't like the movie.
Well, she didn't really see the movie because falls into the pool eyeballs first.
Did she stay blind forever? Like, there wasn't like an advance in medical technology? And
yeah, nowadays if your retinas detach, you can just reattach them. But I think the other thing is, if you lose your sight and you stay blind for like a period of time, even if you reattach them, you lose the ability to see. So, like, you can't, if I don't think even if she like even if 20 years from then they'd had the surgery, I don't think it would have worked.
Oh, okay.
To reattach.
That's very sad. She could have, I guess, gotten it fixed right away. I guess they could have put her on blood thinners or something.
This is something that occurred to me is that there was a lot of toxic masculinity going on and the attitude of like pain doesn't matter. You work through it. You never acknowledge. You don't cry. What are you going to cry? I never cry. So she obviously had issues with her vision. Obviously, it was a bad fall. Obviously, she should have been to see a doctor. But she absorbed this attitude and ethos from Dr. Carver of you don't go to the doctor unless you literally can't walk, which is very toxically masculine. It literally kills men. And then she lost her sight, you know? So, womp. But, you know, she seemed to have a great life afterward. I mean, she wasn't, like, miserable. She kept on diving for 11 years, you know?
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that kind of softened my worry about this questionable relationship. Because then you have Dreamboat McGee there to take care of her. And I'm like, well, thank God he's there, right? Because she's blind now.
He did truly love her.
Yeah.
It just... they would have
well let's be careful because let's not be too ableist here. I mean, she was very capable. She would have made she would have found a job. She would have been fine. Our girl Sonora is not gonna let a disability stop her from living her true and best life. She would have gone off and done something else.
She was also very annoyed that he was helping her at certain points.
He did hover a bit.
But hopefully, I bet he stopped. I think he got the message when she was like, "No, screw you! I'm about to dive off a platform with a horse."
Yeah, I think he just tried to be supportive.
Yeah, he was a good guy, except for the whole child bride thing.
Yeah, and just age her up a few years.
Just please, Disney, go ahead. You made a movie about 101 Dalmatians being a viable adoption option. Surely you can age up a child.
Yeah, in the live action, they went into like a spotted house.
Yeah, come on. We're in the magical world of Disney. We have creatures turning into, furniture around this Disney era. Isn't this around when Beauty and the Beast came out?
I don't know.
So honestly, I don't remember how this movie ends.
Oh, it's the quickest ending ever. It's like fade to black. Turns out everything was great, and I died for 10 years, and we got married. The end.
I wonder why I didn't remember that.
Yeah, it was very fast. She like dies and then it's over. It's like we can't have like a 10 years later or something.
Yeah, she's doing great. She's got a couple of kids. She dives the last time and she's like, "I'm quitting diving because I want to, not because I'm being forced to. Blind people can do anything. Bye." We don't get that moment.
Mm. Yeah, it seems like the whole time that of her being blind was a very short period of the movie, right? Like it feels like that was such a huge moment and then it ends so quickly after that. I don't know.
Well, if we think about what is her big want, it's to be, you know, it's to be independent. I think her ultimate goal is to be independent and to be able to make it for herself, to live her own life. So if we think about her life and like the trajectory of this story from the inciting incident of, you know, finding the thing of the diving girl, that, you know, all of the things that have gotten in her way up to then have been part of that story. So that the blind thing is like, I think, an interesting gimmick and kind of like not a gimmick. It was part of her life, but like it wasn't the thing. Keep going on in spite of all the difficulties, I think, is what makes this movie enjoyable.
Yeah.
It just kind of felt a little bit to me like, all right, like the big thing that you have to overcome was like getting on the horses. And then after that, it just kind of felt a little bit drudgy until when she became blind. And it was like, oh, snap, she's blind now. And then she was just like, okay, but now I'm fine with being blind.
She got right back on that horse. That's what they say. You fall off the horse, you get right back on that horse. Is that the expression or is it like a bike?
No, I think it's a horse. You have to get back on the horse and then,
How does this compare with the other horse movies you've watched?
That's a great question.
Let's see. As much horse in this horse movie, honestly. Like, there's not that much horse.
Yeah, they don't have internal monologue, which right off the bat is a great notch in its favor.
Well, why does she name her second horse Lightning is my question. Why can't she be creative? Her first horse was Lightning. Call the second one Thunder or something.
Call the second one
and
Lightning,
and it was
too.
Gray. It could have been Thunder. I don't know.
Yeah, come on.
Let's see. It's not as good as Seabiscuit.
We did not done Seabiscuit on the podcast, Aaron.
But it's not as good as it. And okay. It seems better than Black Beauty.
100% better than Black Beauty.
And Last Unicorn?
100% better than The Last Unicorn.
You are so wrong. You're so wrong.
But you can't say that The Last Unicorn is a horse movie.
Oh, that's true.
It's a unicorn.
Not a horse.
Not a horse. I'm a horse, am I? A horse indeed.
Me a pharaoh.
Yeah.
That was.
So, what did you guys think? Were any kind of big takeaways? How did you feel about it?
I think I was a little tripped out because that actress was in The Tudors, and I just kept watching it like, you're the girl in The Tudors. The end.
What about if we're giving it a little thumbs up, thumbs down scale out of 10, what do we think?
Do you think it holds up?
I guess I don't know why we liked it as much as we did. we really liked this movie. Like, we watched it multiple times. It was like a family thing when we would get together as a family.
Who's we? Is that your
cousins and things, like siblings and cousins? We would watch Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken, and I think we liked it because of my family. Many of our cousins were girls. I mean, we had a girl majority family, so I think we liked that it was a girl-focused movie and about her making her own way and, like, getting a job and being like, oh, you're telling me that I can't have this job anymore because I'm disabled now? Well, screw you. I still have the job. And, like, I think that, to that degree, I think it still holds up. And I think had Disney, you know, talked to their, you know, future lawyer about age and stuff, like, if they had just made her 8, that's all I want is for her to be 18. That's all I want. For her to be a little bit more grown up.
For her to be 18 and him to be 64.
I like it in theory. Like, I like the triumphant story, and like, it is that kind of classic, like, I don't know, overcoming challenges story at every level. But there are just a few little problems, and I kind of understand why it's not on Disney Plus right now. Mm-hmm.
I feel like all the characters were so shallow, and we kind of like briefly brushed over that point. Like you were saying, even the main character is just like, what do you know about her other than she wants to ride horses and she wants to do things for herself? And like, what do you know about the guy other than that he really likes her? And what do you know about, and he wants to be a great showman. What do you know about, like, anyone?
I don't know why more movies don't just like take a moment to be like, you know, oh, you brought me apple juice. Apple juice is my favorite. Cool. Now we know a fact about this character, that we know something about their personality. Oh, wow. I love this music. Let's dance for a minute. Oh, I like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And there's no excuse for not doing it, because like, you can do that without even like explicitly doing it. Like, I was talking to Richard about Kill Bill. I was like, oh, Quentin Tarantino sometimes is such a good director, because there is like the scene where the cop drives up to the chapel where they were all found dead. Do you know, have you seen that movie? Yes.
Spoilers.
And he's listening to like this particular song. He's driving this particular car, and he's got like his aviator sunglasses in like all different colored shades, like arranged across the dashboard. And it's like, okay, I know who this person is, like, immediately, just from this, like, this, like, 30 seconds of him driving up the road. It wasn't even that. It's like, I know who you are now. Like, I know exactly what you're about, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, even something like her humming a familiar refrain when she was a kid. You know, like, something that... I was just talking about this with my sister recently, is how we were talking about, for us, the only good Marvel movies are Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor Ragnarok, because they're the only Marvel movies that bother with a personality for any of their heroes. You know, like, every other hero is like, I'm strong, I care about the world, you know, like, I don't care, I can't connect to that. So yeah, that, I think this movie fails on a connection level.
Yeah, it's, it focused way more about what she did like, she dived the horses. She dived the horses. She's learning to dive the horses. And then it fails at getting us to, like, really know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think, Richard? Does it hold up?
I mean, it was charming to watch. It's kind of cool to go back in time and see mm-hmm. some of that stuff. But, like, for example, we just did, like, a summary of it. And I don't think we even mentioned her rival, like, the person that was the original dive girl there. It's just, like, I already feel like I've seen this movie a million years ago. Like, it's just already way back in my memory now. It kind of has a superficial feel to it. But it is charming to watch.
It is really well shot. Like, it looks really great. And, like, it's definitely not... I mean, except for, like, that one time where the horse is diving and then the paper cut out. Everything else is great. But I was trying to think, like, oh, if I had kids or if I was, like, watching over... Like, if I was, like, babysitting someone's kids or something like that. Like, what I feel like this would be an okay movie to show them. But I don't know. There's so much, like... Everyone is punching each other, and it's like not in like a funny slapstick way. It's like, no, you're a jerk. I'm gonna punch you right in the face. Like, I don't know. It was kind of weird. It kind of jarred me a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's like also kind of portrayed as kind of funny when she punches the kid in school. You know, when she punches the girl. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that would stop me. I think maybe I would want a conversation. Oh, so all right, let's watch this, but let's talk about it a little bit because it is dated.
Let's talk about predators, how to avoid them.
But you know what? The Last Unicorn is always available on any streaming service. So I would obviously show that first, over and over again, in lieu of this movie. I would give this movie 6 stars out of 10, 6.5. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like 5.5 for me. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like if the horse had done a flip off the ramp, it would have bumped it up a star or two for me, but didn't get it.
I always, like, when I first heard about this concept of them diving, I will say I thought they were diving into an actual body of water that was deep. No, it's just like
it's a kiddie pool.
Yeah, it's like a kiddie pool. I was like, oh my God.
All right. Oh, well, we all have some okay thoughts about Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. You can check it out wherever you rent your movies and streaming videos. You can check us out at the VCR Kids on all social media. Jessica, where can people check out your show and your existence?
Made Up Talk Show is my podcast, and the episode did drop from when we intro'd this episode, and it made me laugh so hard that I was like slapping the wall and crying because it's so dumb. It's so dumb in the best way. So if you want to check out Jay as just the dumbest guy who ever married an eagle, you can check it out. Made a talk show on all platforms. We have it on Instagram as well. So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Thanks for bringing this movie for us.
Oh, my gosh. I hope that I just hope you get more and more horse movies. And then you can have a real, like a real lineup. And you can really get deep into the judgment of like what horse movie stands up to the test of time. I would say my final verdict is no, it doesn't really stand up, but that's okay.
For the listeners, Richard's over here not happy about more horse movies.
More horse movies. More horse movies.
The next one will be Spirit Stallion of the Simpsons.
Nope, that's way too late. All right, we will talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, also, I forgot to mention this, but do you remember that scene when they went swimming?
Right, okay. Right, and they kissed?
Yeah, that water, I don't know if you saw it, it was disgusting. Like, they splashed, and it was like black splashes. I was like, ugh! Like, where did you film this? Like, ugh. It looked like you were going to get an infection from swimming in that water. Or like an alligator would come. I was just grossed out.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Ah! .com.